Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 205. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. If you're just tuning in, where the hell you been? I know it's Monday morning and I don't typically start at midnight, but last night was one of those nights. Or this morning was one of those mornings. Either way, I've been on for 2 hours. You can go check me out on the Odyssey app. The Rewind feature. Check out all the podcasts as usual. So we started with the Knicks off of the NBA Finals last night. And I got to tell you, after watching it, the first half, obviously, congratulations to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are now champions of the NBA for the first time in their history. But for the Knicks' purposes, Halliburton, if you haven't heard already, haven't seen it, just waking up, you got, you know, you have Eddie Scazzeri's schedule where he's been asleep since 5 p.m. Well, yeah. Or you decided not to watch the NBA Finals because you're a Knicks fan, you know, depressed with what's gone on here. Tyrese Halliburton goes down with the game tied at 16 in the first quarter on what is an obvious Achilles heel injury that we've seen it. He goes to push off on his right leg where he's having calf issues. And again, the calf is now the most dangerous injury in sports. If you have a messed up, if you have a strained calf, if you have calf issues, you wait. That's it. There's no more playing through it. I mean, game 7 of the NBA Finals, you take your chances, I suppose. But at any point, you wait until that calf is 100% because we have seen numerous calf injuries lead to Achilles tears, and that's a devastating season-ending type injury. And obviously, we know all the telltale signs. It has not been officially reported yet, but there is hardly a doubt that Tyrese Halliburton has torn his Achilles heel and is out for the entire year. And off of that news, I can't help but be frustrated with where the Knicks are right now. I am not celebrating that news. We all were sick to our stomachs if you were watching the game, watching Halliburton go to the floor, pound the floor, screaming no, shaking his head because he's well aware of what's in store for him over the next year. It's heartbreaking. It's sickening. And especially in that moment, if we're being selfish, we love game sevens. It's what sports are about. I was looking forward to, even though I'm rooting against the Pacers and hoping Halliburton had a terrible game, I still want to see that game be played. I want to see a good game seven. And instead, although it did stay close and the Pacers did a good job hanging in the first half, even had a lead at halftime, the third quarter eventually became the Oklahoma City Thunders and they pulled away. And Halliburton goes down, like we say. And off of that news, not to celebrate it or to be excited about it, I'm not. I'm disappointed for him. But it doesn't change the fact that they will be without their star player next year. And if you look at this Eastern Conference, you've got Tatum. Obviously, we remember Tatum as well, happened on the floor with the New York Knicks. He will be gone with an Achilles injury this entire season for the Boston Celtics. Dame Lillard will be out the entire season for the Milwaukee Bucks with an Achilles injury. And the Cleveland Cavaliers, as well as they might play in the regular season, have real questions to answer about how tough they are and what kind of team they are in the postseason. And the New York Knicks right now are as good a team as any in the Eastern Conference, bar none. They are the favorites out of the East right now. And instead of heading into that situation with a secure head coach, a coach that has led this team out of the doldrums over the last 5 years, who is a stable force, who you know exactly how good this team is going to be with him because it's proven how good this team can be with him. A coach that beat the defending champion Boston Celtics in the postseason. A coach that, if not blowing a 2.5 minute, 9-point lead, 12-point lead, what am I talking about? if not blowing that lead, could very well have been in these the NBA Finals themselves, instead was let go, and now heading into this season, where without question, it feels like the Knicks have the best opportunity they have had in a long time to get back to an NBA Finals and maybe win an NBA championship. The New York Knicks are in the middle of a coaching search with names that don't excite me and a process that has not gone smoothly. And the idea is they better hire the right coach. And the circumstances that he is now coming into, in my mind, just got tougher because now you have to get to an NBA Finals. Before this, it was, well, they better get to an NBA Finals because if they lose to the Pacers, how do you justify? Now, how do you lose to the Pacers without Halliburton? This head coach is going to come into a situation with a very talented team, a team with the best clutch player in the NBA, a team with a superstar here in Jalen Brunson, another great player, one of the toughest guys to guard in all the NBA, and Karl Anthony Towns. He comes with flaws, no doubt, but the two of them alone make this team a playoff team, a roster that is very good, but at the same time, coming into a team with a roster that didn't mesh all that well with its two stars, a team where the superstar is unhappy, probably, that the coach got fired. His father is going to be on the bench for you, no doubt. You're going to have to take Rick Brunson on your bench. A team that has to get to the NBA Finals, otherwise you have failed. A team that has an owner meddling in the process. A team that of players that know they can go to the owner with any of their problems with you. Like, this is not an easy job. And right now, the names we're hearing about, Mike Brown or Taylor Jenkins don't excite me all that much. And you better prove to me heading into this season that you have a better coach than you did last year. And that's tough to sell. So I am extremely frustrated as a Knicks fan. Not that I think it's all doom and gloom. Not that they can't hire the right coach, but they better. And they had a stable thing going. 50 back-to-back wins with back-to-back 50-win seasons. Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in a quarter century. You knew what they were. You knew what Tibbs would give you. It's a bench that was incomplete because they made the cat trade so close to the start of the season. They would have an offseason to revamp the lineup, and they will, hopefully, revamp this this bench. A second year with Tibbs after beating the defending NBA champions. He didn't deserve a second year. And now that we see the injury to all these players in the Eastern Conference, it is wide open, and they're heading in with the idea of they hope they hire the right head coach. It's just, it's not that they're screwed. It's not that they can't hire the right head coach. They had a good head coach. They had a head coach who I believe can beat a Halliburton-less Pacers team or a Tatum-less Celtics team after he beat a Celtics team with Tatum for the first five games. They better get this head coaching job right. And this search better come up with better names than this. I'm sorry. It makes no sense to me what they've done. And now that this is more wide open than ever, it's just even more frustrating. And they've got a lot of work to do. They got to figure out a way to get a better bench. They got to go hire a head coach. They got to figure out a way to get Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson to work together. They got to figure out a way to get the best out of Mikal Bridges. A lot's on this new head coach's plate. A lot. And I know that there's still a chance it's Jason Kidd. That would make me feel a little bit better. But, I mean, we're looking at Jenkins. We're looking at Mike Brown. We're looking at maybe, Johnny Bryant. And now, I mean, can you really hire a head coach without coaching experience? Can you really do that right now with this team? Because to me, and I said it before, like, I don't have the ability to see how this is going to get played out, obviously. But as we sit today, it feels like to me they have as good a chance to win an NBA championship or better chance to win an NBA championship that they've had since Game 7 of the 1994 Finals. Like, I really believe that. Like, I know they were in the NBA Finals in 99. I didn't think they could beat that Spurs team. And who knows? If they get to the NBA Finals this year and Oklahoma City's going back as defending champions, I might feel like they don't have a chance to beat that team. But in the moment right now, considering how this series went, considering how if Haliburton doesn't go down, we don't know what this series plays out like. Right now, as we sit here today, the Knicks have as good a chance to win an NBA championship as they have since 1994. And they're going to head into that with this team in flux, with the owner making decisions, with the roster complaining about the coach, with a superstar who became a superstar under the last head coach, probably isn't all that happy with it. His father, who clearly isn't all that happy with it, still on the bench. Championship mandate, like all of that being thrown into the mix. And right now, wouldn't this feel like a good time to just have a stable force behind the bench and someone where you know what you're going to get and someone who took you far previously and you can head in with a second year of maybe understanding the team a little bit better and playing better together heading into this year with the best chance to win a championship since 94? And instead, it's just up in the air. And we'll see how it plays out. We'll see what they do. We haven't really heard news yet on how any of these interviews have gone. We haven't heard yet if they're going to throw more names into this interview process. I'm sure they are, because the thought is how to handle this coaching search is to just interview everybody and ask to interview everybody. So I'm sure more names are coming down the pike than just Jenkins and Brown. But right now it sounds just like them. And I'm sorry, neither of them excite me. Mike Brown had LeBron James. I understand he also had a decent couple seasons with the Sacramento Kings. He is not a name that excites me. Jenkins is a young coach. He did a good job in Memphis. He's not someone where I look at him and go, oh, that's clearly an upgrade over Tibbs. Where is the upgrade as we're heading into this important season? Where is the upgrade as we're trying to chase a championship in a short window of years with an opportunity to do so? Leon Rose, this owner, and the New York Knicks organization better be right about this. They better be right about this. Because you can't squander this year. And if they don't make the NBA Finals, what are you going to tell the fan base? How are you going to justify this? Well, it's only 1 year. I mean, it takes time. It's only 1 year with this roster. Yeah, Tibbs only had 1 year with it. He had to be let go because you couldn't beat the Indiana Pacers, who might have been on their way to winning an NBA championship if not for a devastating injury to their star player. All week, I was concerning myself with the idea of how's it going to feel if the Indiana Pacers win the NBA championship? How am I going to feel that Coach Tibbs was fired because he couldn't beat a team that went on to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder? How are we going to feel watching that team hoist the trophy? How are we going to feel? And after the injury, it's almost the exact opposite, right? We were focused on, wow, the Indiana Pacers might be a dominant team. They had, I believe, the best record since January in the NBA. They go through the playoffs like a hot knife through butter. Doesn't matter how many points they're down, they come back and win big games. They did it against Milwaukee. They did it against Cleveland in 5. They take care of the Knicks in 6, and then they go on to win the NBA Finals. My God, you're dealing with a possible dynamo in the Eastern Conference. How do you get better to beat that team? And that's what I was focused on. And as disappointing as that was, the idea that they fired Tibbs because they couldn't get better, because they couldn't beat this team, at least I could say to myself, okay, well, Tibbs did take them to a certain level. He couldn't beat this team. This team looks like an even better team. Maybe things need to change, right? On some level, okay, a different voice, change some things up, fine. Now that they're not going to be this team, and I don't think there's any way they're going to be as good as this year without Haliburton all year, now it's like, man, if I only had the freaking stability where I knew what I was going to get, now it's in flux and I don't know. And it's scary.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Scary as hell.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 227. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. We did a little bit of Mets. We've obviously done a lot of Knicks to start the show. Let's turn our attention to the New York Yankees for a minute. That's right, I put them third. How about that? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Save the Yankees for third.
Yeah, but you'll talk about them longer.
Yeah, maybe I will. As the New York Yankees do get a victory 4-2 over the Baltimore Orioles. In a much-needed win and a good bounce back after losing the Friday game to come back in the manner in which they did, scored a ton of runs and broke it open on Saturday. And let's have this debate for a second here. Look, and this isn't even necessarily a defensive boon, and I know I do that a lot. This is not, I'm not saying it. Clark Schmidt was not going to throw a no-hitter. Like, I'm sorry, you can't allow him. I know people are upset. Saturday, obviously, Clark Schmidt throws 7 no-hit innings. There are some people who are upset. Sean Marash, who I like Sean a lot. I think he does a great job. Me and him have been going at it. I think some of his recent baseball takes are just clueless. Sorry. I love you, buddy. The idea that Clark Schmidt should have continued. They should have let him go out there with 102 pitches and 2 more innings to get. Like, this guy hasn't been able to stay healthy at all. That's his biggest problem. Clark Schmidt can't stay healthy. He started the year injured. His last 2 starts have been utterly brilliant. They need this guy bad with this rotation. You can't. I understand it's a no-hitter. I understand that we get so hung up on pitching, on pitch count and all that stuff. You can't allow him to go out there and throw 120, 130 pitches. They're not conditioned to do that anymore. I hate it. We could talk about baseball needs to change and, you know, pitchers should be conditioned to throw this long. Fine, they're not. I can't just suddenly give Clark Schmidt the rope to go out there and throw 130-plus pitches to get a no-hitter. You just can't do it. So let's just end that debacle. But the pitching for the New York Yankees has been great, even through the struggles, even through the losing. And they're still losing. It's an ugly homestand. Make no mistake. We're going to talk about a victory today and a good solid series win. And now the Yankees have won 3 of 4. But you can't go into a homestand, a 7-game homestand, with 4 against the Angels and 3 against the Baltimore Orioles and come away with 3 wins. It's just not good enough. So, by no means are the Yankees out of this. They still had issues in this game today where another bad, listen, as much as I'll, you know, poo-poo some of them or at least tell you it's on the players and not the fundamentals of the New York Yankees organization and Aaron Boone, I think that gets a bit much. But Aaron Judge makes a mistake on third base. He's got to be able to tag up on a ball earlier in this game to tie it. But ultimately, the New York Yankees win a series, win a game, where Will Warren again gets off to a little bit of a shaky start, gives up 2 runs in the first inning and kind of settles in. The starting pitching has been good. Max Fried, the one loser in this series, had a shaky start for him, gave up 3 runs in 6 innings, still a quality start. Not very good, at least not what he's been used to. They lose that game with inability to score some clutch runs and Weaver blowing it in the bullpen. But then they come back, score a ton of runs on Saturday. I didn't see a lot of that game. It was right while I was at FanFest with my kids. I think that's the first game this year I haven't seen pretty much every pitch of was the Saturday game. I couldn't help it. I'm at FanFest. People were telling me the Yankees are kicking ass. Like, I couldn't ignore it. I tried my best. So once I found out the score, I didn't bother to really go back and watch much of the game, I'll be honest with you. But obviously a big-time offensive performance, much needed. And then you get to this game today, Sunday. Obviously, you want to take this series. They have been dreadful against the American League East. That has to change. They have the worst record in the division against the division. You can't be in first place and have the worst record against your division. And this division, it's not as bad as people thought early on because the Red Sox are starting to play better. The Orioles are starting to play better. The Blue Jays have been up, you know, have been playing better. So the division's not god awful, but it's not very good, and you can't be 8-12 against this division. And that's what they were heading into this game. But Will Warren has continued to show poise. I thought this was a big start for him because the last time he had nothing like he did today in the first inning was the Dodger game, and he couldn't get out of it. In this game, he's able to keep the bleeding at 2 runs and then kind of settle in and do a really nice job the rest of the game. Will Warren has been a big-time help for this team and this starting pitching, and that's what made me feel better. Like, I was talking about it on Saturday. Of the two teams, the Mets and Yankees, that are struggling, who do you feel better about? Who do you feel worse about? Or, you know, which one's an uglier losing streak? And I would tell you, I think the Yankees are probably just the ineptitude and the opponents, too. I mean, they're playing the Angels and they're playing the last place Baltimore Orioles, while I know Atlanta isn't having a great season, but it's a tough team on the road. And then the Phillies. And Tampa Bay's been as hot as any team in baseball. So the opponents have been better for the Mets than the Yankees, and the Yankees really were inept offensively. The Mets were losing games different ways. They blew a game in the bullpen against Atlanta the first game of the series and scored 5 runs. Like, the Yankees were just falling on their face offensively, couldn't do a damn thing, couldn't get a bunt down, couldn't do anything. But I would tell you that I'm more concerned, and take this for what you is. I know I'm a Yankee fan, so I can't give you a fair perspective on this, but I would tell you I'm more concerned about the Mets because as much as I'm screaming about the offense of the Mets, the pitching is faltering. There's no doubt. I'm not saying the pitching isn't faltering. I'm just saying that's not why they're losing necessarily, and it's time for the offense to kick into gear. The New York Yankees have pitched almost, you could use the word, excellent. The Yankees pitching has been excellent through the stretch. It has been simply they cannot score runs. They didn't give up a lot of runs against Boston. They pitched Boston really well. They hardly gave up any runs against the Angels. They pitched the Angels really well. And then in this series, again, you know, they've pitched really well. The pitching of the New York Yankees has been excellent during this stretch of losing. And the offense has been so bad that you assume it's going to get better, and it clearly has over the last couple of days, that it's easier to envision the Yankees turning things around quicker because the Mets are dealing with both the offense struggling with runners in scoring position and the starting pitching starting to come back to reality, where the Yankees pitching is actually getting better. But this game Sunday is about Jazz Chisholm. And if you look at Jazz's numbers since he came back, since Jazz has come back to the lineup, he's hitting .350. He has 7 extra base hits, 11 RBIs, and an OPS of .987. He is carrying, he is as important an offensive figure as this team has. And quite honestly, it's someone who, if he can play this way, and he's not necessarily hitting the ball out of the ballpark, he's just having good, solid at-bats. He's hitting the ball the other way. He got a 3-0 fastball and didn't miss it in this at-bat. He's having good at-bats. He's working counts. Like, he is having an excellent run here of not just home runs, which was keeping his OPS afloat early on in the season, hitting a bunch of home runs. He looks completely different. I don't know if it's the 70% or whatever else we're talking about. Like, you know, he's swinging at 70%. He's been, since coming back, a completely different player. He's been the best version of himself, and he is absolutely right now, outside of Judge, their most important offensive player. That's how good he's been. And the energy he brings and the dynamics he brings, the base running, the play at the plate in this game where he has a bad collision with the catcher, ends up coming out of the game and they have to bring Sanchez in, but his shoes are falling off while running. Like, that's Jazz. There's something about him. The helmet goes, the shoes go. Jazz right now has just been the man. And that double in the eighth inning was much needed because earlier in the game, had a prime opportunity to score some runs, second and third. and they can't get the run home. They have continued to struggle with runners in base. They continue to struggle with small ball. We see it all over the place, though. The Baltimore Orioles couldn't get a bunt down either. It's unbelievable to me how bad these teams are. I know we don't care about the Orioles, and the Yankees have higher expectations and should be better at it than the Orioles, but like nobody is able to get down a bunt. It's amazing to me how bad these teams are at just manufacturing runs. But Ben Rice gets a double. They have second and third, nobody out. And that's where we thought they were going to lose the game because it was another bad base running decision, and it's happening all too much. But Bellinger hits a short fly ball to right field in Liriano, who's got one of the best arms in baseball. But it's clearly he's coming booking to try and catch it. I understand, you know, Buck Showalter was trying to be fair to Aaron Judge that if that ball drops but it bounces up into Liriano's hand and you're trying to tag, there's a chance you don't score on letting it if it lands. I guess there's a small chance of that where you might not score. So Judge doesn't go back to third and kind of plays it halfway because in the air, it's definitely not deep enough to score. If Liriano's underneath it and makes an easy catch, you don't go. But Liriano has to leave his feet to make the play. When Liriano has to leave his feet, you've got to be able to score on that play. You have to. And instead, Judge isn't tagging up. He's going halfway because in his mind, he's just reading, well, that ball's not deep enough. And you've got to be better there. And Judge still isn't right offensively. I know he had the home run and the three-hit game in the opening game of this series, but watching this game, he is still missing pitches that he crushes all the time. And he's still chasing pitches outside the zone. Judge is still in a funk. Now, he's good enough to get through a funk and still be a functioning player, but he is not the dynamic player he has been all season over the last, you know, three or four series. He just hasn't been. And they're going to need him to get back. But right now, Jazz comes through with the big hit, the big double, and let's give it to Aaron Boone for a second. Can we do that? Is it allowed? Aaron Boone had a good game. In the eighth inning, Tim Hill walks the first two guys of the inning. They've got two on, nobody out, and he calls for Cruz. And he could have called for Leiter. Cruz walked three batters in his last appearance and absolutely killed the Yankees. He could have called for Leiter. He could have called for Jonathan Loaisiga, who's been hot and much better. He could have even brought in Weaver in that situation, I suppose. Instead, he goes to Cruz, who you know can strike people out, and immediately gets three straight strikeouts and gets them out of the inning. And then in the eighth, with runners at first and third, he pinch runs for Stanton at first after Stanton gets a base hit. And, of course, it can't score a run because every single ball hit is a bullet to an outfielder when they have runners in scoring position. But they have first and third with one out, and Jazz Chisholm up on a 3-0 count, and Aaron Boone gives him the green light, which is 100% the right move, because even if he walks, you got the bases loaded with DJ LeMahieu coming up against a right-handed reliever. I mean, DJ, one, strikes out, two, puts the ball on the ground and can't run. I mean, that's setting up for a double play. And what happens when Jazz, after the double and everything, DJ LeMahieu hits the ball right at third base, and they're lucky that the run scores because the throw got away from Sanchez. But in that moment, he gives him a 3-0 count. He takes a fastball and puts it into the right center field gap. The Yankees score the two runs, take the lead. A nice, you know, one single from Devin Williams, but Devin Williams gets through it rather easily. And the New York Yankees take a game that they much, much needed. But to me, the New York Yankees still offensively are not nearly as good as they should be. They're still making decisions on the base paths that are just mind-numbing. There's no ways around it. They've been better at it this year, but during this stretch, it has reawoken. It has been an issue for them, even in victories. Even in victories. Even the final win against the Angels, Wells makes a terrible base running decision. And even in this game with a win, Judge does a bad job in not trying to tag up and doesn't score a game-tying run. And you thought the Yankees were going to lose. And they needed a comeback. They needed to exercise those demons. They haven't been able to come back. It wasn't they weren't down many runs, obviously, down one run. But still, the idea that they don't score that tying run, it felt like that was going to be the reason they lost the game. And that Judge not tagging up was going to be a huge talking point. And it was going to be, well, they make mistakes. They're a sloppy baseball team. They can't do this. They can't do that. And instead, we're talking about a victory and we're talking about how good Jazz Chisholm has been. And I talked about it earlier to me, and we talked about the Mets at the trade deadline. We're going to start to pick up those conversations as we get more into June and July here, obviously. As, what are we, a week away from the 4th of July? Next week is the 4th of July. Next Friday, a week and a half. As we get closer to this trade deadline, I am very curious what the Yankees are going to do. Because I don't think that there's going to be a lot in the starting pitching market. I don't think they're interested in a top-level starting pitcher. I would think the bullpen, the back end of the bullpen is where they're going to look. Someone mentioned Kenley Jansen. I mean, if the Angels make him available, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I don't view him the same way I did a couple years ago, but still, that's a legitimate arm at the back end of the bullpen that you can add. That's where I think they're looking to make their biggest impact. But clearly right now, juggling everything, as much as they have all these guys, you still need that other infielder. At least that's most likely what it is. And I'm curious to see. To me, the biggest question mark now is Dominguez. I'm curious because as we see this juggle, Dominguez is clearly the odd man out in the outfield. Clearly. And I understand it. And Buck said it on the broadcast too, for the Roku broadcast. The best defensive outfield in baseball, you could argue, is the Yankees. With Bellinger in left, Grisham in center, and Judge in right, you could argue, and I think you'd make a compelling case, that's the best defensive outfield in the game. And it's not like Dominguez is doing enough offensively where you have to thrust them in there. And Grisham is playing more than he is. It's not close. So if they view him as someone who, let's be honest, I don't know, Grisham's going to be a free agent. Could I see them signing Grisham for a year or two? I could see that. I could see them giving Grisham a contract off of this season. You've got Spencer Jones coming up. Much better defensively. Has power. Strikes out a lot, but has power. And can play defense better than Dominguez. If they really feel like his defense isn't all that good, and it's gotten better, and hasn't been a major issue, but if his defense is an issue, his switch hitting is an issue, and if someone really values him and they can make a big move here to really bolster this team for a run, again, we talk about the Knicks being wide open, the American League is wide open. The Tigers are a good team, but they're not unbeatable. They just lost 2 out of 3 to Tampa Bay. This is a year you have to be uber aggressive if you're the New York Yankees to go try and win a championship. And if Dominguez gets you back a player that can really help you do that, I'm curious to see if the Yankees would be interested in it. I don't think it's off limit at all. 888-808-1019. So we can talk about the game. We can talk about them winning. We can talk about the idea Cincinnati is next. Dominguez possibly on the trade market. And then, of course, Anthony Volpe is always a discussion. And I'm sorry. If you have a problem with Anthony Volpe not playing yesterday, you have real issues. You have Aaron Boone just syndrome. You have Aaron Boone derangement syndrome. A term that's commonly used in today's day and age. You do. Because we were clamoring. I can't tell you. Everyone was yelling it at me. Live at Fanatics Fest on Saturday. Give him a day off. Give him a day off. Give him a day off. They play him on Saturday because he's got great numbers against Eflin. He comes through with 3 hits, and now we're like, oh, how can you take him off on Sunday? Like, it's crazy. And Aaron Boone had a good game yesterday. Made all the right moves. Let's see if anybody remembers.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 251. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. And you know, talking about that Judge play, and I'm watching again because, listen, the Yankees did play a better game today. They had, at least, you know, mistake-wise, you know, Judge had that blunder, but Jazz Chisholm scores and runs through the catcher on a play that would have been close. The ball goes flying. He loses his shoes, loses his helmet. Obviously, the base running of Goldschmidt, who pinch ran for Stanton after Stanton's single in the eighth inning, comes around to score all the way from first base on that double and beats the tag. And thankfully, the replay system finally goes the Yankees' way, which was remarkable. It also went getting in the first inning, picking off Holiday at second base. I mean, everyone, I mean, that's why I point out these mistakes. I know we hold the Yankees to a higher standard. I get it. And I'm not saying that, you know, just because the Orioles make the same mistakes that we should forgive the Yankees' mistakes. But sometimes we talk about the Yankees as if they're the only team that makes these mistakes. And they're just not. Last night, the Mets, same thing. Sosa gets picked off a second base, first and second, nobody out against Peterson. Like, you can't, they're getting picked off. Holiday getting picked off at second base against the Yankees, first and second, nobody out in the first inning. He's getting picked off at second base. I'm not trying to excuse the Yankees' bad plays, but we talk as if Aaron Boone and the New York Yankees organization is the reason it happens, when the fact of the matter is baseball players do dumb stuff everywhere. Now, you got to clean it up, I agree. And you can't let these mistakes kill you, and it has at times with the Yankees. But like the idea that like they're cultivating some sort of environment where these things happen and it doesn't happen anywhere else, it happens everywhere else. It happens everywhere else. But that doesn't excuse Judge for having a bad play. And someone tweeted at me, I don't know why I thought it was Liriano in right field. I'm wrong. Liriano, and I did the book and everything today. Liriano was the DH in the game. Now, Liriano has an incredible arm. But Carlson was in right field, so that's even more. I have a tougher time understanding what Judge was doing. And I understand, you know, Buck was trying to, you know, kind of give him an excuse. You got the middle of the order coming up. You know, Stanton's coming up next, but Stanton can strike out. Like, I don't necessarily, you know, love Stanton in that spot. I mean, I trust him, but he does strike out when he's not, and he's just back from injury. And Judge has just got to be more aggressive there. You got to be tagging up, and if he leaves his feet to try and catch that ball, you've got to score. So still, even with the wins, we are seeing some of the issues that have hampered this team for a while. I just think that, you know, I don't push back on it. I just push back on the idea that it's the Yankees cultivating it. And you know what? I wanted to say this real quick because it was bothering me, and I just have to say it. So if you haven't seen it, Clint Frazier, former New York Yankee left fielder, prospect. They traded for him in 2016. They sent Andrew Miller to Cleveland for him. Big-time prospect. Bat speed was supposed to be fantastic. He did not work out with the Yankees, and he's flamed out of baseball. I don't think he's playing Major League Baseball right now. He did a podcast, and of course, the Fair Territory podcast. And, of course, they asked him about the Yankees, and the topic of, you know, the front office and, you know, robotic, you know, the idea they believe in analytics and everything and blah, blah, blah. And I just want to point this one little thing out because, and I said it a little bit on Saturday, but it bothers me that we hear what we want and we believe what we want. And we believe that the New York Yankees don't believe in hot. Now, in some ways, they've expressed that to us. But the Yankees don't believe in hot, that the, you know, the GM makes up the lineup. It's too many rocket scientists. You know, they told me they don't care about how many, you know, hits in a row I get, that the next hit is still the same average. All this crap that we want to feed into from this failed prospect who is bitter against the New York Yankees. And I was just, you know, it makes me laugh because I was thinking of something. I don't know if they correlate exactly, but I remember when after the 2023 season, when the New York Yankees failed and, you know, they had the miserable season, didn't make the playoffs, and Hal Steinbrenner decided to do a search on if he should keep Aaron Boone or fire him. And I don't know why this got me annoyed, but it did, because the owner said he talked to a bunch of people. They, you know, asked what kind of manager he is, and he talked to a bunch of people, including Nick Swisher. And I remember the amount of people laughing at the idea that the New York Yankees consulted Nick Swisher about their manager. And they thought it was a big joke. Oh, my God. Oh, Nick Swisher said so. Oh, who else should we ask? Oh, Nick Swisher thinks that Boone's a good manager. Nick Swisher's been in the organization. Nick Swisher has played for several teams. Nick Swisher's been an all-star. Nick Swisher won a world championship with the New York Yankees. He's still in the organization, works in the minor league system. Nick Swisher, while, yes, being a character, had a major league career. And we dismiss what he might think of a situation about the New York Yankees because we don't like Aaron Boone. And so Nick Swisher said something that Aaron Boone's a good manager, and we laugh about, well, Nick Swisher, he's kind of an idiot, isn't he? And what are we asking Nick Swisher for about the opinion of the Yankees bench and who should be the manager? Are we serious? Nick Swisher. But yet we'll turn around and listen to Clint Frazier, who's a pissed off former Yankee who, in his mind, I'm sure, didn't get a fair shake, although he was given left field and couldn't hold on to it. And he says some things about the front office and some of the things he might have been told. And we buy it hook, line, and sinker like it's the gospel. Because it feeds into the stuff we want to say. That the front office is too demanding and that Brian Cashman does this. And that, oh, this one's making out the lineup. And this is, and they don't believe in Hot and all this stuff that he said in the podcast. And we take it as if it's gospel. But if someone defends Aaron Boone and says he's a good manager, well, I mean, Nick Swisher, I mean, he's a bit of an idiot, isn't he? Why would we take Nick Swisher's opinion on it? But when it comes to how the Yankees handle their business, we're perfectly okay with taking what Clint Frazier has to say as gospel and an indictment on the entire Yankee organization. It drives me absolutely crazy. It drives me absolutely crazy. And I just think that it dawned on me. I'm like, we're going to laugh at the prospect of what Nick Swisher might have to say about the organization, but Clint Frazier on a podcast who's clearly annoyed with how the Yankees handled him? That's legitimate, and that speaks to all the ills inside the Yankees organization.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.